Luckily, behind the scenes with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Robbie Stanley and Nick Kieser on your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Zen Sports. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Kieser, as always. We've got All-Star Weekend behind us. Bye week in the middle of it right now with the Predators. I've seen them off in tropical locations, some boats, some beaches, some nice sunsets that they put on Instagram. But, Nick, we're getting pretty close to being back to reality with the Preds back in action coming up on Saturday against Arizona. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that the guys are having a good time on their trip while we're all stuck back here in Nashville. I guess we could have had the option, but we run a morning program here on 102.5 The Game. So
we do.
It is fun that we are still doing that. There's no rest for the wicked, as Cage the Elephant says. So yes. There you go. But yeah, glad that we have some hockey coming up here on Saturday against the Arizona Coyotes. So there you go.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And the unofficial second half of the season, even though the Preds have already played 51 games, so they're well into the second half of the season at this point. And you know, entering play tonight, and we're going to get into this a little bit later. Joe Rexroad and I had a long discussion about that this morning, just kind of where things are going right now, the long-term plan of the Predators, and we're going to hear more from that a little bit later in the show. But, you know, right now, you look at the wild card race, the Preds are right there in the thick of it. St. Louis, Nashville, Seattle, L.A., Calgary, Arizona, kind of right all there together. I mean, you could really include Minnesota in that if you wanted to. I mean, they're at 47 points, 49 games played. Preds are at 54 points, 51 games played. So they're right there kind of in the thick of things in the wild card race right now. And it's going to be a really interesting second part of the season here. And, you know, Andrew Burnett before the break brought up how some of his older guys probably running into a wall a little bit in terms of just the usage. And, you know, I think when he said that, my first thoughts went to Forsberg, Nyquist, O'Reilly, and how much they've relied on that line. To me, a big part of this next 30 games here, Nick, is going to be, can you find another line offensively to get any sort of consistent scoring out of outside of that top one?
Yeah.
If you can,
that's
then
great.
I think you're going to give yourself a shot.
Yeah.
If you can't, I think it's going to be tough to make the playoffs.
It will be very tough. And I don't know if I would already be tired of this answer, but it would be frustrating to only see this other line work out. I think when you go immediately to what other line should work, my mind goes to Luke Evangelista, Tommy Novak, and whoever else they plug in there. They've kind of just thrown in that third forward there. So I don't know how Tommy and Luke are going to handle the rest of the season, because this time last year they were call-ups. Well, Tommy wasn't a call-up, but Luke was called up roughly around this time. I want to say February, maybe early March, or something like that. Yeah, I think he got called up before they went out west. So, but regardless, I am very curious to see who is going to step up. What other, you know, recalls could they possibly make? Is someone not playing up to speed that, you know, that they would have expected? You know, is Yusuf Parson ready to come back? He's at 5 points in five games. I mean, he's been okay in Milwaukee. And of course, I would know all of that for sure. But it's been good to hear from some of the players. I got to catch up with Zach LaRue and also Spencer Stastny when he was en route to the AHL All-Star Game. So it was fun to see that. I got the story about thegamenashville.com. I caught up with both of them, just what's going on down there. So go check it out. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm not sure. And even defensively speaking, Robbie, I think for the guys, they just want to pick up where they left off. They weren't playing great by any means, but we certainly could see other pairings, other linemen doing a lot better for sure. And maybe going down to where did some of these guys go? I mean, they have plenty of time to reset, so we'll see how they answer.
We'll see. And, you know, we're getting close to the deadline, right? So we're about a month away. So March 8th is the trade deadline. So there's still a lot of hockey to be played between now and then. And, you know, you always have to keep an eye on the standings and the way things look there. But I do start to look at guys like, you know, Tyson Barrie, I think, is a good example. We've been talking about Tyson Barrie all year and his trade request, and he's been in and out of the lineup, mostly out as a healthy scratch.
19 games.
And we're starting to reach the time of the year where you look around the league and with the kind of the prorated cap and all those things and the amount of games that he's played and the season that's left, maybe starting to get to the point where teams can take on the rest of his salary. So does that mean that we could see a trade coming soon? Like, I would be surprised if he's still on the team after March the 8th. I think Barry Trotz and the Predators are going to try to do everything they can possibly do to trade him and to get the best deal they can possibly get. I don't think the best deal that they can possibly get is going to be very much. So I think that going into it if you're the Predators. So, you know, he's obviously a candidate that I would identify. You know, if things go south here for the Predators, could there be others? Like, you know, Tommy Novak, what does his future look like? Do the Predators want to sign him to another deal? If they do, can you get that done? If not, do you look at maybe trying to trade him? Are there other veteran players that are either on expiring deals or even restricted free agents that you're kind of looking at right now if you're Barry Trotz and you don't think maybe part of the plans as you move forward here? Do you try to shake things up that way? Like, what's the ultimate situation? Like, I think in the back of your mind, you know Spencer Stastny's a player for you, whether that's at the end of this year or the beginning of next year. So your decor, like Lozon's played pretty well this year. McDonough's under contract. Yossi's under contract. Carrier Fabro, what does that dynamic look like? There's a lot to figure out here if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators over the next few weeks here before the deadline.
Yeah, but also how much freedom do you have to make some of those moves, and how relieved are you to maybe make those? Because if you do, you know, we talk about Spencer Stastny a lot, like you just said, and even catching up with him, he feels like his game's in the right place to even make that next jump for sure. He said to me that the most proud thing that he felt so far from himself this year was that he's playing a more well-rounded hockey game. And he surely is. The small chances that he's had in Nashville, they've been really good. And to his credit, I think he's handled those call-ups pretty well since he has been with the Predators. But even if you look at some other guys, you know, I don't think he's ready, but even a Mark Del Guizzo, you know, he's been very just impressive overall this year. And very quietly, too, one name that some of the guys threw out to me as well, not that he will get a call-up anytime soon, you never know, though, is Jake Livingstone. They said that he's another one that, being 24 years old, he's well-rounded. Last year, we saw him for a few games, and I remember talking to Mike Hastings last year about his game before he got hired at Wisconsin, and he was telling me about how Jake is probably one of the more well-rounded defensive prospects, you know, overall right now, until you see some guys just arise out of the draft. So there's a lot of names to be aware of as well. I know that one thing that you and Joe got to was talking about what the future looks like at goalie even too. So how do they factor in UC Soros? How is he perceived by other teams? What's really tough is other teams could look at him and go, he's having a down year. How can we turn that around if we go try to pitch Barry Trotz a deal? And I'm not sure that they're interested in doing that. They very well could be. We don't know what's inside their mind. I think what's fair to say is that they kind of have a 1A, 1B situation regardless, because they have Kevin, but they also have Yaroslav Askarov. Very curious to see how they approach this deadline. I don't see them being buyers. If they're buyers, you know, I've heard Caroline Fenton even say on our radio waves that it would be a tremendous mistake. It'd be really, really big if they were buyers, but I don't know.
I don't mind something small. Like,
yeah.
I think the idea of them going out and buying, like spending a first round pick or a second round pick, like, I don't even think that's entering Barry Trotz's mind.
No.
Like, I don't. So yes, it would be a big mistake if they did that, I think, but I don't anticipate that's something that's even crossing the mind of Barry Trotz. So it's not even really like reality to me.
No,
that,
it's
that
not.
Would happen.
No.
No, I mean, I guess the only caveat to that would be if you found somebody that you love that you think could be a top six forward that's under contract for another 3 years.
That's not Trevor Zegras, by the way.
I mean, you'd give up a first-round pick for that, probably. So, but other than that, like, unless there's a player that they love with term, like, they're not giving up one of those high picks. I don't think you have to worry about that if you're a Predators fan. Like, I do. Like, the interesting situation is what happens if, you know, a couple days before the deadline comes around and you look at the standings and you're in a playoff spot. Like, you're that last wild card team. Do you just leave things alone? Do you not trade anybody, maybe with the exception of Tyson Barrie? Do you then look to, you know, whether it's a third or fourth round pick or something like that, like, do you have like a small buy where you add a depth forward or I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine them needing a depth defenseman. But, like, a forward that's not going to cost you a ton, like a middle six forward, are you comfortable spending a draft pick on that? That I'd have less of a problem with than you going out and just going nuts and going a first or second round pick.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm kind of curious, too, if they do trade one of the goalies, is Barry Trotz trying to get a secondary first round pick as well? Because, you know, they had a few to use last year, obviously, on Matthew Wood and Tanner Mullendyke. So could they be interested in trying to get a first round pick? I don't know where they would want that pick to possibly be. I mean, they were around the middle of the draft last year, around 11. And then they also, I think it was past 20 when they picked Tanner, I think.
Yep.
So I think that would be a good asset to pick up as well. You already have 11 picks. You have 3/4 and you have 3/2. So that's interesting to me. They don't really care about the later rounds as much, but you never know. Some of those guys will pan out, you know, i.e. a Yusso Parsonen kind of recently. He's one of the few guys from his own draft class with the Predators that kind of panned out. So we'll see what their approach is. And like you already said, but just to remind our listeners as well, the trade deadline's coming up on March the 8th. So that would be interesting. I think it's a 3 Eastern deadline or something? Yeah. So there you go.
Maybe 4 East. I have to go back and look.
Something like that, yeah.
In the afternoon. Yep, it'll be interesting. And, you know, will the Predators be involved in that? And this playoff push, it's going to be, I think, valuable for the young guys. I think the young guys have been, I don't know if underwhelming is the right word, but I think very inconsistent is probably fair. And that it's going to take them to find a new level of consistency. Certainly if you're going to be dangerous, if you make the playoffs, and maybe even to make the playoffs, like you're going to have guys step up that have not done so consistently so far this year, and they can do it. I mean, I thought, you know, some of the guys we're talking about did it last year for a 30 game stretch where the Predators got close. And I think the veteran pieces that they have around them this year are better than they were a year ago. So that's encouraging. That's a good thing to have if you're some of these younger guys. But it's going to be a dogfight down to the end. I mean, look, the thing is that the teams that they're right there with in the standings right now are basically exactly like them. Like, they've all been inconsistent. I mean, LA started off great, and they've been terrible for last month. I know, yeah, they beat the Predators the other night and then subsequently fired their coach after that heading into the break. So
DJ Smith train now.
Happy break, Todd McClellan. Hope you enjoy your vacation. But like the Blues and the Kraken and the Flames and the Coyotes, like they're all just kind of, eh. They never can really put together a big stretch. They're all okay. So can the Predators dig their way out of that? And can Saros play better in the second half of the year? If he plays better in the second half of the year, then you're going to give yourself a good chance. Coming up next, you'll hear a conversation that we had this morning on Robbie and Rex Road discussing the Predators and their path forward right now. How has what we've seen this year from the Predators impacted the way we view their long-term plan and their long-term vision? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We had a conversation this morning on Robbie and Rex Road about the Predators' long-term vision. How has what we've seen from them this year impacted the way we view their long-term plan? Here was that conversation this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, the Nashville Predators, 26-23-2 overall, 51 games into the year. They resume play on Saturday at home as they take on the Arizona Coyotes. So I hope they've enjoyed their nice break, their bye week. I've seen some pictures rolling in of nice beach locations that they've been on and on the boat and all those things. So hopefully those guys have had a good time. Back at the hockey-playing part of their job coming up on Saturday against the Arizona Coyotes. So they're right there in the mix, right there in the mix for a playoff spot. And, you know, L.A.'s there. They fired their coach. St. Louis is in the mix. Seattle's in the mix. Calgary, Arizona, kind of right all there together in the playoff mix in the Western Conference. And we'll see whether or not the Predators have what it takes coming down the stretch here to get in the playoffs and get back in there and see if they can make a run of things in the first round against, you know, if they make the playoffs, it's going to be against your Dallas's or Colorado's or Vancouver's or whoever's of the world. So it's going to be a tough matchup if the Predators get in the playoffs. But we'll see whether or not they can get there. As the way, I guess I'll ask it this way. As you view kind of two things going on at the same time, they've got this season to worry about and their chances to make the playoffs, and they've got some veteran players who have done a lot of winning before, and we'll see if they can bring the young guys along with them. So there's that to worry about, what they can accomplish this year. And then there's the long-term plan that Barry Trotz has kind of been talking about ever since he took over the job, where, you know, he's preached patience, that this could take a while, and he's made no bones about it. They got to go find a franchise game-changing centerman one way or the other, whether that's via trade, via the draft, and he tried to do it last year. I think it's pretty clear to move up into the top five and was unsuccessful. So how has the way that this season has gone impacted the way you view their long-term plan? I guess how close do you think they are to getting back to being a true competitor in the Western Conference? Because I think everybody would agree. You know, anything can happen in the playoffs, and if your goalie gets hot, then maybe you got a shot. But I would not classify the Predators, even if they make the playoffs this year, as a Stanley Cup contender. So how do you get back to being there? How does this season impact the way you view that?
That's a very good question. I don't have a quick answer. I mean, look, the season has been overall, to me, has been a pleasant surprise. I know lately it hasn't been as good, and I feel like, you know, you can sense a little Andrew Brunette frustration with some of the recent performances and various players. I guess in a way I can look at this season and say I thought more of the young guys that we're trying to find out about would really step forward. I thought we'd get more from Cody Glass. I definitely thought we'd get more from Juuso Pärssinen.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Novak gets a little bit of a mulligan with the injury. I still think there's a good player there. We've talked about that, but still, even with him, like, what's the future? What are you going to do with him contractually and all that stuff? I mean, of all the young guys, who has stood up and declared, absolutely, I'm going to be part of this thing moving forward? I think Evangelista is.
I would agree.
And, like, look, there's some other – there's pleasant – like, I think Jeremy Lauzon this year has been a nice development for them, right? But I think overall, the young guys, you wanted to see – to me, more young guys saying, "Yeah, I could be like a top six guy here in the next few years," and I don't think there's enough of that. So from that perspective, I think it's been a little bit underwhelming. Look, I mean, Nyquist and O'Reilly were really good signings for this team to be competitive. Great job. I mean, it's a heck of a line, and Forsberg is a star, and so there's a lot to still like. That's why they're in there. But in terms of what's the core group? To me, the timeline has always been, as we've talked about many times, the timeline is Forsberg and Josi and maybe Saros.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, of course. But, like, can you get it? Can you get everything else up to a certain level while those guys are still great to really do something? So it's the clock's ticking, even though it's just starting out for Trotz and Brunette.
Yeah, they're in an interesting spot because I look at their overall, like, pipeline of players that they have, and I think it's okay. Like, I think it's, you know, it's not elite, but I think it's good, right? Like, you've got, I think, Joachim Kemmel down in Milwaukee. There's a lot of reason to be excited about him. I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good player in the NHL. Askarov has been unbelievable this year. I mean, look, even on the back end, and we've seen him some here this year, I think Stasny's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think Spencer Stasny's pretty good. You know, you look down, you know, Svechkov has played well in Milwaukee. So a lot of their
– Wood, you know.
Yeah, Matthew
you hope
Wood.
You down hope the line.
He develops into something. So a lot of their young guys that we've not seen at the NHL level yet look pretty good. So that is encouraging. Now, I always try to tell people, I've seen a lot of players over my years of covering hockey. They look pretty darn good in junior and look pretty darn good in the American Hockey League.
Right.
And then you get to the NHL and it's a different story. And they just can't figure it out. And I'm sure.
This team's an example of
exactly
that.
Like, I am sure that a couple of these guys will work out and they'll be long-term members of the Predators. Some of them may even be top six forwards and pretty good players. There will probably also be one or two or three guys that we're talking about that Predators fans are really excited about moving forward. They either one won't be here via trade or number two won't work out. I mean, it's just how things work in the National Hockey League. So I still look – I always come back to one question that we've talked about forever with this group, and I don't think the equation on that has really changed. Like, to me, in order to ultimately get to where they're going to want to get to, and that is being a legitimate threat to win a Stanley Cup, I still look down the middle and think, who is your game-breaking player? Ryan O'Reilly has been awesome for the Predators this year. Ryan O'Reilly, to me, by the time like the timeline all comes together, is not going to be your number one center.
Right.
He could be a good two. He may be a great three. Like, that's probably more likely a couple years down the road what he is a great three.
And Trotz has talked about how – I mean, that's kind of the plan,
yeah,
is to downshift him but still have a really nice player there.
So you don't have that guy right now, I don't think. Now, maybe Matthew Wood turns into that guy. We'll see. But how do you get it? And as we discovered last year, it's hard to do it because Barry Trotz, I think it's pretty clear. You know, I was sitting there at the desk at Bridgestone Arena on draft night, and there were all sorts of reports about, you know, Barry Trotz is trying like heck to get in the top five. And we heard Askarov's name get thrown out there. We heard some draft picks get tossed out there. He's trying like heck to get in the top five. And you see the players that went in the top five this year, and you're like, yeah, I'd be trying like heck to get in the top five too. Well, right now, the Predators, unless they, you know, they miss out on the playoffs barely and they have some lottery luck fall their way, they ain't picking the top five this year either. So they're still kind of, to me, somewhat in the same boat of, you know, they did a really good job making some signings this offseason, and they're going to be just competitive enough, I think, to miss out on, like, the top five.
Yeah.
So how do you go about about changing that? How do you go about acquiring one of these guys if you're not going to be bad enough to do it, you know?
That's a great question. There's no sure answer. And again, yeah, it's like, so like, think about, again, Parsonen. There's a guy who, I mean, who knows? I mean, like, they sent him down to Milwaukee, and Barry Trotz told Jared, I mean, it was a very interesting commentary on it. Like, you know, he's a centerman, so he needs to work on that. But, you know, Afanasyev's a guy. Like, the Preds have a lot of guys who look really good in Milwaukee, but then it's like, okay, so what are they at this level? I don't think they have that guy you're talking about in the pipeline. Maybe, like you said, would in a couple years, but you got to find a way to go get that guy. And again, I think one of the mechanisms is trading one of the goaltenders, right?
Yep.
You do have cap room in this offseason coming up. So, but it's got to be a kind of an earth-shaking move to me, or else, you know, you're going to be like this. You're going to be pretty good, and
yeah,
you're hanging in, and it's fun to watch this team. You have ups and downs, and you'll be right there in the fringe, but with no, to me, real hope of actually chasing a cup.
I think it's pretty clear to me there's at least one and probably two gigantic moves that are going to happen somewhere in the next few years here for them to get back into being a legitimate threat. And what I mean by that is it's going to take either, you know, a stockpiling of assets where you can make a trade to go get one of those guys, which is hard to do, but not impossible. Or, like, let's say they missed out on the playoffs this year and they got lucky with a lottery pick and they ended up picking like sixth or fifth and you got one of those guys. That's what it's going to take. And which one of those are going to happen, I have no idea. I think Barry Trotz has made it clear in some of the comments that he's made is he's going to be looking for those big swings via trade. And the good news is, if you're a Predators fan, with what you did last year at the deadline, and we'll see what they do. You know, March 8th is the deadline this year. They could try to do it again. They've stockpiled a lot of assets. So you can try to keep doing that and position yourself to be available via trade. But again, a lot of those guys don't become available via trade, so we'll see what happens. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation about the Predators' long-term vision. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. How do you feel about the Predators, their long-term plan? How has this season influenced the way that you view the Nashville Predators? Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cody says, is there an advantage for the Predators that they have less games remaining on their schedule, so they have more time in between the rest of the conference with their games? What do you think of that? So they got 51 games played. They are in front of a lot of teams in the West in terms of games played. Now, a lot of those teams have also come back from their week off and are making up some of that ground on the Predators right now. But it's going to be a pretty crowded stretch down the stretch here for the Preds.
Thank you for
a lot
saying,
of games coming.
Thank you for saying week off instead of bye week. Really appreciate that. You're
it finally, is the bye week.
You're learning. You're finally. Thank I appreciate you. It. We're seeing progress. Yeah, I mean, it'll even out, right? I mean, you hope that they come back from this break right away and have some momentum and some energy, right?
Yeah.
So that's the idea, but obviously different teams react differently to that break.
Well, they have some big games coming up, like, quickly. You got Arizona, who you're kind of right there with in the standings.
And you struggle Saturday, with consistently.
And you, for some reason, can't find a way to beat them. You got New Jersey on Tuesday, and then it's Dallas, who's in your division, St. Louis, who you're fighting for a playoff spot with, Vegas, who's really good, and then L.A., who you're fighting for a playoff spot with, kind of right there all together. So some big games for the Predators coming up. Chip from Mount Juliet says, I like that Trotz has been fielding offers on Saros and potentially other stars. The iron is hot in many cases, could provide benefit for many years. I'm interested to see the Saros thing. I mean, the deadline, first off, how do the Predators play between now and then? Because I do think that that influences the way you operate to some degree. But does Trotz, number one, does any team around the league have a serious offer for UC Saros by the time the deadline comes around? And if so, does Trotz actually consider it? Or are you kind of resigned to the fact that you're making the goalie decision basically this offseason when you have a chance to either sign him to a contract extension on July 1st or with a year left on his contract, you could trade him?
Yeah, I feel like your best value – when is it? What was the day of the deadline?
March 8th.
So you're talking about a month and a day. I think your best value seems to me like it would be – someone right now who believes he's the last piece. Who would that be?
Well, I mean, you could make the argument New Jersey needs a goalie. You could make the argument Carolina needs a goalie. I mean, there are several teams in the East that, I mean, look, LA needs a goalie right now, but I don't know if they're going to.
Don't talk bad about Big Save Dave.
Big Save Dave's played well. I don't know the Big Save Dave is who you want going down the stretch with.
And that's the thing, too. Like, I mean, to me, I would say if the return's amazing, yes. But, I mean, is there a hesitation to trade to somebody in the West?
I wouldn't have that. Yeah. I mean
if
to me,
if it's easily the best haul, then yeah. That's what it is. And then you miss the playoffs and, okay,
well, and fine. It goes back to, again, because I think it's pretty clear based on comments that he had to you and other places. Like, to me, it was clear that Barry Trotz's plan heading into this season was to sign UC Saros to a long-term contract extension. Is that still the plan? Has that changed based on the way he's played? And maybe more importantly, has that changed based on the way that Askarov has played? Because Askarov has been otherworldly good down there in the minor leagues. And I can't help but think that at least a little part of your brain, if you're Barry Trotz, even if you're resigned to signing UC Saros to a contract, looks at Askarov and says, oh, man. He's been really good, and he is exhibiting everything you thought he could be when you drafted him. And I know Barry Trotz wasn't here when they drafted him, but he is exhibiting why you draft a goalie as high as they did with what he's doing right now. So I can't help but think that's not at least entered your mind if you're Barry Trotz.
But then you also put that into the timeline discussion, right? So he's been fantastic, and, I mean, I'm excited for – whether he's here or somewhere else, to see Askarov in this league with his personality and his talent and everything, it's going to be fun. But how quickly is he ready to be a starting goaltender giving you 55, 60 starts a season in this league to the level that you need in that timeline we just discussed, which is, again, to me, it's Forsberg and Yossi. You know? Huge numbers for those guys. Still great players. How many more years of them being great players? I guess maybe Yossi more than Forsberg. Maybe a little bit shorter timeline.
Agreed.
So does it all come together to where Askarov is ready for that in, you know, like the year after next in this league?
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, We got one text saying, I feel more optimistic about the Preds, even if they don't make the playoffs this year. I think a lot of questions can be answered with which unrestricted free agents / RFAs they signed this summer. I agree they're not ready to compete for a cup yet, but within 2 or 3 years, it wouldn't be too out of the question. I hear that, and they do have cap space. The problem is, like, the free agency class this year kind of sucks, to be honest with you. Like, it's not great. You got Steven Stamkos, who might be a free agent, and he'll be 34 years old with, I think, his best hockey behind him. You got guys like, you know, Voracek out there. Jake Gensel is scheduled to be a free agent.
Lindholm.
He's a good player. But Lindholm, who's a good player. None of these guys are great players, though. Like, Stamkos is a great player. He's 34 years old. And I still have my doubts as to whether or not Tampa's going to actually let him get out there and see what it looks like. But, I mean, going down the list here, not a ton of great free agents. And I think the reason for that is, number one, the cap has been a problem the last few years. So people have sort of, like, prioritized, like, their big players who they wanted to lock up. And number two, like, the 8-year deal thing is a thing, right? Like, when you're a free agent with your team, and this was the whole idea of why they put it in place, a lot of guys are signing 8-year deals with the team they're already on rather than taking 7-year deals in free agency out there. Right. So,
it's all guaranteed.
It's all guaranteed. It's not a great list. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, bud? Hey, this is my thing with Soros. He's an awesome dude. Like, I think we've done really well to get two awesome, talented, like, good people to play goaltender for the Predators in a row. But that's the problem I have, is, like, he's almost tied to Pekka somehow because he grew up behind him, like he's his big brother. So, in a way, I almost feel guilty saying it. But, yeah, I want to get rid of him. Like, if that's your one asset that everybody's saying you have that could bring back a good return, and we're probably not doing anything deep. If we sneak in, cool. But, like, we're ahead of schedule here. And, you know, eventually you're going to move on to that kid, or we're all going to want to see that kid. So why not get something while he's still a hot commodity? Like, I like I said, it's not like a hateful thing, man. I'm not like, get rid of him, he sucks. I'm like, let's get something while we can. He's not Pekka, man. Like, as bad as we want him to be, he's not Pekka Rinne.
Thanks for the call, Adam.
It's business, not personal.
Yeah. Well, look, the thing is, though, you know, he says we're going to eventually see Askarov. You may not. Like, Soros is young enough to where you could sign him to a long-term deal and still – conceivably get pretty good value out of that contract.
And then you have to deal Askarov.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, that's the decision, right? Is, are you going with Soros, who has proven to be a really good NHL goaltender, albeit having a down year by his standards, but has proven
Which
to be.
Doesn't help the whole
it
thing.
It does not at all. Like, right, I do think this would be a little bit easier if it was just like, oh, Soros is at a .920 save percentage and he's stealing games left and right and they're making the playoffs. Yeah. Like, okay, just sign him.
You can win a cup with that guy. Look at how he's playing. This year, it's like, wait, what's going on with that guy?
Right.
It doesn't help you. Doesn't help you if you're Barry Trotz.
It does not. So this is a really interesting spot that they're in. And again, to me, it all comes back to one thing. You got to find a way to get one or two of those game-changing forwards, and it's a really difficult thing to do. And the path to get there is very hard.
And this organization historically has been fantastic at identifying and drafting defensemen and goalies and not doing the same with forwards.
Yep, there's no question about that. Coming up next, Nick Kieser and I will break down the schedule ahead for the Predators. Big games coming up for them immediately after the break. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by Zen Sports. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening. The Preds are back in action coming up Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena, taking on Arizona. And this is really an interesting part of their schedule, Nick, because they got some big games coming up immediately out of the break. Obviously, the Arizona game speaks for itself. You're right there kind of with them in the standings. And for whatever reason, they continue to struggle against Arizona, and I can't really for the life of me figure it out, but they have struggled with Arizona for a while now. So another crack at them coming up on Saturday. You got a very young, very talented New Jersey team on Tuesday night. At the moment, heading into tonight's action, division-leading Dallas Stars coming up next Thursday. and then a huge game next Saturday afternoon, a week from this Saturday, against the Blues.
I will be in attendance.
Are you going?
I will be there. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. So those are four huge games. Three of them at home. So you got that working for you if you're the Predators there. You know, we're going to find out a lot about. You know, Barry Trotz was on last week with Jared Stillman, and he talked about kind of the next 8 to 10 games helping to shape the picture of what they do at the deadline, which we talked about earlier in the show. But not only just the amount of games that you got coming up, but the opponents: Arizona, St. Louis, L.A., Minnesota, all teams that are right there with you right now in the standings. You play them all this month. You don't play Calgary and you don't play Seattle, but you play a good stretch of those teams this month. Also later this month, Nick, and both of them are on the road, but you have San Jose and Anaheim. This, you've reached the time of the year, and you can't really do it any time of year, because I always tell people the points count the same in October as they do in March. But certainly this time of year, you can't afford to be dropping games to teams like San Jose and Anaheim. Like, you got to make sure, if you're the Predators, you pick those type of points up, because that could end up being the difference at the end of the day of you making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. So after this long break here, where, you know, hopefully they've kind of reset a little bit, and we'll see what kind of the level of play looks like, and if there are guys that are more fresh, some massive games coming up the rest of this month for the Predators.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was just going down the list here, seeing how many more Central Divisional games that they have. And they play a lot of really good teams. And when you just take a look at it, even down the line in the latter half of the season, I mean, the ones that really stand out to me, at least, in the back half of March, you're going to play pretty much back-to-back games. Not exactly, but, you know, two big games, obviously, in Arizona. But then also you're going to play the Avalanche. And look, playing on the road in both of those places, it's been trivial for the Predators to win in those buildings for sure. And then also, too, the last two games of the season, you know, they have the Jets, and then they also have the Blackhawks, which the Blackhawks, you know, could still be a trap game for you if you are in a playoff game situation. Now, this is all later in the season. We have no idea what this team is going to look like by that point. Now, as of now, we are well aware that they could possibly be in a playoff spot and they could make it. But then again, a lot of you fans out there have been very frustrated with getting to the playoffs, but it's like, why? Why are we trying to get there? And so I understand the frustration for sure, but I think the growth that is most evident this year, it's important to have that. And I put a little poll out the other day on Twitter, just kind of gauging what have been the weakest parts of the season, but what have been the brightest spots. And I mean, having over 20 odd answers to kind of sift through, I would say the fan base is overall happy with what this team looks like right now, Robbie, but I think the overall consensus is they're tired of a little bit of this mediocre looking kind of, you know, trajectory of this franchise. Not to say that it's been bad whatsoever. I think the brand of hockey is certainly getting better with the types of players that you see come into this city. But overall, I mean, if you look forward into the grand scheme of things, you have a bright future, lots of prospects. Milwaukee playing really well. As of this recording, they've still won 12 in a row. They don't play till Friday, by the way. So I think there's a lot to be proud of for sure. But then also, too, when you change this team, yes, they responded well last year. You trade away Nino, you trade away Matias, you trade away, you know, obviously Matt Duchene gets, you know, left out of the equation that summer. They responded well for the most part. So how do they respond this time? I feel like looking around this locker room, Robbie, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I think the mentality, it's all been a mental game for this team this year. They've been there physically in some of these games when they lose them in tight games. It's just the mental errors, and I think it's been Andrew Brunette's biggest frustration this season.
Well, yeah, he's certainly been frustrated by the way that some of that has gone down. Some of it has been a little bit mystifying to me that it's continued to happen. And we've talked about this before here on the show, but, you know, the Predators are not as young as people think they are. There's a lot of veteran players that they do have. And, you know, I think there's got to be an uptick in intensity is probably the way I'd put it. An uptick in intensity that I think naturally to some degree happens this time of year. And look, Andrew Brunette's talked about this. It gets harder to win as the season progresses, right? The space out there becomes harder to occupy. teams are more locked in, they're more dialed in, they're more focused, they're playing faster. You know, it's not quite playoff hockey, but it gets close to that down the stretch here. So it's a grind. How do you handle that if you're the Predators, if you're a team that's trying to kind of squeak in the last part of the playoffs there? And to your point, there have been games this year, and even recently. I mean, look, the Ottawa game, we were just talking a few minutes ago about games you can't afford to lose, and San Jose later this month I would identify as one of those, Anaheim's another I would identify. Well, you just let one get away last week, right? Ottawa, you're up 3-0, and you blow the lead, and you leave a point on the table in the play in overtime. Like, you look at that at the end of the day, and it's like, okay, well, they got an overtime point, so it wasn't a total disaster. That's a game you had no business losing. And again, that point could end up being huge at the end of the year. So it's little things like that. I mean, they've blown a lot of multi-goal leads this year. And some of that, I think, is the goaltending. Like, he's got to get better as they move forward here. But some of that is, you know, making the right decisions with the puck, making the right decisions of where to go when you don't have the puck, you know, making the right reads of whether or not to pinch defensively when you're in the offensive zone. You know, it's just little things like that that add up to winning. And look, to their credit, they've had games where they have executed that about as well as you can do it, right? I mean, they've had some, particularly defensively, I think I've seen some stretches this year where they've been great. And, you know, Ryan McDonough making the right plays out there, Yossi, Carrier, Lauzon, you name it. They've been awesome. But there have been some games where, whether it's a mental lapse or just making the wrong play at the wrong time with the puck, that have cost them. And that's the difference in winning and losing a lot of times in this league. And, you know, the teams that you see, of course, at the top of the standings, like I was watching Colorado the other night, and of course they have a ton of talent, right? Like, Nathan McKinnon is unbelievable, and he's playing at a different level.
Yeah, Zach Parise's on that team.
Yeah,
now,
which is kind of wild to think about. But one of the things that also stands out to me is, like, when you need to make the right play, most of the time they make it, right? Like, they put the puck in the corner when they have to. You know, when they're beat back defensively, they don't compound it by trying to, you know, pinch up and make an aggressive play that way. They're just making the right plays most of the time. And typically when you do that, you'll like the result more times than not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's been fun to chat with Jeremy Lauzon this year. I was kind of thinking of different subjects I guess I could work on for a little bit of a progressional look at someone's season. And so I think for Jeremy, just what I have been fascinated with is he's risen above the noise. When he was traded here, it was like a big question mark. Why would Nashville trade for someone that's not proven? You sign him to a contract. What do you see there? We're seeing it right now for sure. He's hitting everything in sight. He's that physical presence that, in my opinion, hey, Barry Trotz, you said that Luke Shen's coming in here and he's going to hit everything. Well, I think Jeremy Lauzon's kind of taken that role on a lot more so than I would have thought this summer for sure. Jeremy's been great, but also I think looking at someone like Alex Carrier, I think he's had, you know, lulls in the season for sure. He's had some issues with injury a little bit, not as much as last year. He's kind of talked to me about that a little bit. He's been happier with his season health-wise for sure, and now they are coming back from a break, so I would expect him back because there were a lot of question marks of will he be able to go once he's, you know, back from break, and I think he will be. No worries there. So I think defensively, that's something I keep an eye on is structurally, and you hit the nail on the head, you know, they've definitely looked better in some games. Some games they've looked pretty bad, and they have to go back, watch that tape. But now the hockey is going to get a lot closer. You're going to see a lot more plays that mean more and, you know, smaller, you know, chunks of time for sure. So how do the Predators handle that, and how do they handle these opponents coming into town when they do have these home games? Because right now you're looking at more road games left in the season than you do home games. So that's why,
which may be good for them, by the way.
Maybe good for them.
I think they played better on the road for the most part.
No pressure in front of Smashville, as you could say. So there you go.
It's been a little weird, right? Like, you know, obviously in November, like mid part of November, early part of December, they went through a stretch where they hardly lost at all.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, you know, whether it was on the road or at home, they were winning games left and right. But they've had some stinkers at home that have been pretty hard to explain, right? Like, where you're just getting blown out of the gate.
Like the Coyotes game.
Yeah, like the first period. You're just getting blown out of your own building, which that, if you know, you're not going to win every game at home, obviously. And good teams are good teams. Good teams travel on the road and play well. The best teams in the league play just as well on the road as they do at home. So I'm not expecting the Predators to go, like, undefeated at home or anything like that, but I would like to see in the second half of the season here, try not to get your pants blown off of you in the first period. That would be a nice step in a positive direction.
And really quickly, too, don't forget, and this has not happened very often at all in the NHL this year, the Preds had a 3-goal lead and lost against the Senators. And so that doesn't happen very often. And they've also gone scoreless through two periods 17 times this year. And more often than not, it's been in the last 10-15 games or so.
You got to find a way to get the offense going.
Yeah, the depth scoring, that has to change for sure.
Well, that's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. A big part of the schedule coming up for the Predators when they're out of the break starting on Saturday against Arizona. Nick, great stuff as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here. And next week on the program, we'll have a lot more for sure.
We will. Hope everybody enjoys their next couple of days here of the break, and then we'll be back at it. Coming up on Saturday as the Preds take on the Arizona Coyotes. That does it for us. Penalty Box Radio up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.